Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, Christmas we often think of as the season of hope. And hope is sometimes, you can kind of think of it as one of those churchy words that is hard to define, like forgiveness. Try defining what the word forgiveness is without actually using the word forgiveness. It's hard to do. And hope can be hard to define as well, but we use it all the time. We'll say, I hope I get to see my family soon. It's one we've said probably often this year. Or, I hope the schools stay open. I hope the vaccine works. This is one I say every year. I hope the Vikings will win the Super Bowl in my lifetime. And I hope that doesn't mean I live to be 203 years old. We use this word all the time, hope, hope, hope. But what does it mean? What makes hope hope? One way to think of it is to imagine a child on Christmas Day morning. We all know kids on Christmas Day, they can't sleep in. They're up at 5 o'clock, and they're ready to open presents. They're ready to check out Santa's stockings, all that kind of stuff. If you're a parent, there's no hope of sleeping in tomorrow morning. It's just the way it is. But they come down the stairs. They see the tree there. They see the presents, and they're ready to open. They've been waiting for, maybe they've been waiting for a certain thing, and they don't care what the other ones are. They just want this one thing. They've been pleading for this. They've been longing for it, dreaming about it, yearning for it, praying for it, telling mom and dad about this thing all year long. They hope one of those presents is the answer to all their longings, all their yearnings. But hope, like my hope for the Vikings, is really just wishful thinking if it's not grounded or rooted in something. It has to have something to latch onto. So think again about those presents. You know, hope without firmness to it is really nothing more than just a wish. But let's say that present that you've been wanting, and we'll go with the Christmas story, right? It's that Red Ryder carbine action BB gun. You've been wanting that all year long. You've been telling your parents about it. Let's imagine that mom on Christmas Eve says, hey, that present right there in the corner, that is the thing you've been hoping for. Now, you can't see it yet. You don't know 100% that that's what's in there. But mom's pretty trustworthy, unlike maybe dad. Mom's pretty trustworthy. You trust her word. Her word is golden. And so now, your hope means something. Your hope is a confident expectation. And it's built on a foundation of a word you can trust. This is what hope is. It's more than a wish. It's a confident expectation of a word built on a word that you can trust. Now, in the gospel story, we don't know too much about the shepherds. This is the only time they appear in the gospel. We'll make some assumptions about them, though. That they are good Jewish men. And as good Israelite men, they know the scriptures, and they've been waiting for God to act, for God to show up in the world. They've had the scriptures. They know that God is going to send a Messiah, that this Messiah is going to be a king. They live in this land that's not theirs. It's ruled by a foreign power. And this foreign power, the Romans, has put this violent and paranoid king in place. They live in this world that is full of violence itself. It's full of sin. It's full of disease. And it's a lot like ours. It's full of infinite problems. And they've been waiting for God to act because only God has the solution for this world. They've been waiting for it. They have hope. They have an expectation, and it's confident that God is going to act, and they have his word to believe. But now, to the shepherds, comes the voice of God through the angels. The word of God is coming to them in a new and magnificent way. And it's laying an even firmer foundation for this hope they have. Good news of great joy, for to you in this day, in the city of David, is born to you a Savior. And here's the sign, shepherds, of this baby, this thing that God is doing when you go see it. It's not going to be some magnificent thing. It's a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And as if to put an exclamation point on God's word, the angelic choir shows up and sings glory to God in the highest, peace on earth with those in whom God is pleased. They had hope before, but now hope is firm. They have this confident expectation. They have yet to see it, but they know it's there. That's what hope is. And with this hope, they go to Bethlehem, and with faith rooted in God's word, they go to see what God has done, that God has acted. The hopes and fears of all their years now has flesh. It's wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This year is a year that has shown us our need for hope. It's magnified our need for hope. Every time you've witnessed or seen someone suffering, someone you know and love, every time you've witnessed some heartache, loss, experienced hurt, every disappointment, every offense committed by or against you, every wrong, everything that has happened to your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends, your neighbors, it's all magnified our need for hope. We've all said this, that we hope next year is better than this year, and it probably will be, but we also know better, that when the calendar changes to January, the violence, the sin, the disease, the infinite problems of this world are still going to be there. And so our need for hope is greater now than it ever has been. And hope we have, because we are a Christmas people, just like we are a Good Friday people, and just like we are an Easter people. In Christmas, hope comes in the flesh. It has hands, it has feet, it has a mouth, it has eyes, beating heart, veins with blood, lungs with breath. And at Christmas, a foundation is laid for the shepherds that is the same foundation we have. But I would argue that we have more to base our hope on than the shepherds did. Now, granted, they heard the voice of the angels. They're the first ones to whom the angels harked or heralded. But we have more. We have more layers to the hope, to the foundation, than they ever did. We know hope wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They did too. But we also know that those swaddling clothes will turn into a burial shroud, lying in a tomb. We know that this birth will be given over to death, so that we might have new birth. We, unlike the shepherds, also know this hope that will be wrapped in a burial shroud, that shroud will turn to folded linens, lying in an empty tomb. A resurrection through which we can have confident expectation, true hope that as Christ lives, so will you. Christmas is the beginning of hope. It is good news of great joy, but it's not the end. And the cross, though it looks like defeat, is hope's continuation. But the empty tomb, which hoped to seal hope, is the seal of guarantee upon which our hope fully and confidently rests. God is not finished. He has certainly not abandoned. Hope doesn't just exist on Christmas Day. But God promises to see this world through to its end, to be faithful to us, and far beyond. So I'll end tonight with a word from Paul from the letter of Romans 15:13 says this: May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.